This is the Greg Bedard Patriots Podcast with Nick Cavins.
This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks, the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. Download the app today. Use the code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. And if you like the pod, love the pod, want to support the pod, go over to Prize Picks, sign up using that code CLNS, and it will help us tremendously. We're going to do a little bit of a mock draft today, Greg, in a little bit. We'll go back and forth dueling mock drafts, but first, just a couple of headlines. Let's start with Tom Brady lighting the social media world on fire on a podcast, saying that he would be open to returning. Your thoughts on that?
So this isn't the first Hall of Fame level quarterback who just like couldn't stay away that I've covered. Linking Brett Favre into this. Here's what I don't get about it. Isn't he trying to buy a piece of the Raiders? Like, isn't that like getting closer from what we heard? So like once that happens, like he's done. Like it's not happening. And you know, he's older now. He's been out of it. Look, maybe if this ownership thing drags on, maybe if there's a big injury to a team, like say the San Francisco 49ers or something like that, you know, could it happen? There's a whole timing element also, like, at a certain point, you can't sign those type of players. So, I mean, I don't know. I think Brady's just bored, really.
Yeah, I think he's bored. A couple of things I took from this. Number one, are we ever going to get to a point understanding that Brady is aging like all of us and he would now be 47 as a starting quarterback? And I know the last time we saw him, he was playing pretty well, but the dude has not played in more than a year and he would be 47 years old in August. Like at a certain point, it runs dry a little bit, okay? The milk goes bad, Charlie Murphy. Like at a certain point, you just don't have what you used to have. And
yeah, but Nick, Bill's gone. So chest checkers. He's going to come back now that Bill's gone and he's going to lead us back and we can just draft Drake May and he can sit behind Tommy until he's 55 years old.
And that's my second takeaway. I said this on my podcast today. We all just need to move on.
Yes.
Media need to move on. Fans need to move on. It's like that old girlfriend or boyfriend you have back in the day and you have these lovely thoughts of how the relationship was passionate and it was great and you were both young living your best lives and you just completely forget about the current reality coming off of a 4-win season, completely new coaching staff on the offensive side, offensive line questions, especially at left tackle, wide receiver questions, don't have a true number one guy. It would be 47-year-old Tom Brady coming back to the 2019 Patriots. Does anybody want to see that? Why do we make glory out of this thing? Like, move on. Move forward with your lives. It's a sad state of affairs when you're sitting there hoping that a 47-year-old quarterback is going to come in and save you. Look towards the future. Look towards the youth. Bill Belichick's not here. Brady's not here. So I'll just move on. Speaking of moving on, J.J. McCarthy, the buzz continues, Greg. What is happening here? Is he legit going to be a top five guy, or are people just putting in overtime to build this dude's case?
Well, a couple things I'll say about this. Number one, like we talked about last pod, if Mac Jones was drafted 15th overall, which I think was accurate at the time, I still think it holds no matter what happened the past 2 years, then do I think J.J. McCarthy could be say a top 10 pick or a 10-ish pick? Absolutely. I think that he is a better overall prospect than Mac Jones was when he came out of Alabama. So that's point number one. Point number two is, as we know, there's a lot of desperate teams for quarterbacks. Off the top of my head, the Giants, the Vikings, the Raiders, let alone the teams in the top three. So those just immediately come to mind as like, you know, also the Broncos, the Saints possibly. So, and do I think that J.J. McCarthy is, if not solidly number four, he's at least in that area as far as number of quarterbacks, you know, slotting them in this draft. So I think there's some legitimacy to it. Now, where I just disconnect from the conversation altogether is the talk of him going 2 or 3. I'm sorry, I don't see it. Like, if I'm drafting a quarterback in the top 3, I need a guy who is going to elevate the team. Like, not Brock Purdy souped up or Mac Jones souped up, like, which is what I think. I think McCarthy's a good prospect. And like I said, I think he's a better prospect than Mac Jones was. However, I still think at the end of the day, he's a guy you win with because what's around him. Like, you know, plop him into the San Francisco 49ers. Like, I think he does really well. You know, put him on the Bengals. Does he do well? Yeah, probably. But for these teams, the Commanders, the Bears, the Patriots, who are building these things from the ground up pretty much, I don't think he makes much sense. And, you know, compared to the enormous upside of Drake May, who you could say, if we do things the right way with him, this is a guy who can carry a team. He can get us out of 3rd and 15. He can bring us back from, you know, 21 points down in the second half. I just don't think J.J. McCarthy's that. So for me, that's where the threshold sort of breaks. And Nick, one thing I wanted to bring up, and it's sort of a developing opinion for me. Ooh. And this is in terms of breaking news. in terms of, you know, there's a lot of, let's just call it, there's a lot of buzz around J.J. McCarthy and the Patriots. Tom Curran has changed his tune on J.J. McCarthy. Michael Holly has changed his tune on McCarthy. Our own Mike Giardi has changed his tune on J.J. McCarthy. There's also some national voices out there like Charles Robinson and others. My developing opinion is this. I think that the linking of J.J. McCarthy to the Patriots is coming from Jerod Mayo. I don't think it's too difficult to draw the lines on why that might be. Now I have no problem with that. And, you know, if these guys are talking to Jerod Mayo, God bless them. You know, they're really good at their jobs. The question I have, and I think this is the essential thing, and we talked about it in the last podcast where I talked about when I covered the Dolphins, somebody very high up in the Dolphins straight up lied to my face. Somebody who I had a really good relationship, I was pretty close with, had never steered me wrong, straight up lied to my face about their interest with Brady Quinn early in that draft. So my question is this. Is what's being put out there, is it legit? Or is somebody like Elliot Wolf saying, you know, Jerod, why don't you go out there? Why don't you put out there that we're really interested in J.J. McCarthy? Just in case it might get us, you know, maybe teams get antsy. You know, the Vikings might kick in an extra first round pick. You know, we're not really interested in doing that, but who knows? Well, Jerod, you have really good relationships with the media. You were in the media. Why don't you go out there and put it out there like that we love J.J. McCarthy? And, you know, now, that being said, I don't think that Jerod Mayo, when he talked about Drake May's floor at the owners' meetings, was playing chess, not checkers. Like, I think he was repeating what he had heard in the building from the scouts, from Elliot Wolf, perhaps on Drake May. Yeah. And so I don't know. I'm just curious. It's a developing opinion, and I'm curious, like, what you think about it.
Here's my developing opinion, and it kind of goes hand in hand with what you just said. I said it on my podcast earlier today. I get the feeling, because so much has been said about the Patriots, this idea of moving out and maybe trading. Every time I hear about the Patriots might trade, it's always followed by, but it's going to be really difficult. They love all the guys there. It's going to take a lot. I think Elliot Wolf loves one guy in this draft. As far as the 3rd pick, I don't know who it is. I don't know if it's Daniels. I don't know if it's May. I don't know if it's McCarthy. My gut tells me it's May, but he loves one guy. And everything we keep hearing about J.J. McCarthy this, J.J. McCarthy that, J.J. McCarthy this, J.J. I think it is a case of if our guy is not there at three, we're moving out. And we are going to try to get as much as we can. So let's keep pumping the tires of all of these quarterbacks to make people believe they're going to really have to overpay to get our pick. I think Wolf has one guy in mind. And I think everything else is a bunch of crap. And I don't even know if a lot of people in that building know which guy Wolf wants right now on April 12th.
I don't think they do.
Yeah.
Nope.
So I think he loves one dude. And I think all of this is a smokescreen. And it's trying to get teams desperate to battle themselves amongst each other to move up to three and get that quarterback that they want if Wolf's guy is not there. So if Drake May goes two, I could see Wolf say, all right, best offers. Doesn't mean that he's, you know, going to move out. If he doesn't get a great offer, then maybe he doesn't move out. But that's my developing opinion, that all of this stuff we're hearing is a bunch of noise. Wolf has one dude amongst the group of quarterbacks. If he's there, he's picking him. If not, he's hoping for a Godfather offer.
I do not disagree with any of that.
All right, let's move on to our mock draft, the dueling mock draft. Going to go 1 through 34. So we're going to have some fun here. It's not going to take forever to go through each pick, especially the picks that we both feel, you know, really good about. So let's start with that. Let's start with the Chicago Bears. The number one pick in the 2024 NFL draft, Greg Bedard, is?
Caleb Williams, no doubt.
I'm with you. Caleb goes one. Now we have some fun. Washington Commanders on the clock. Adam Peters is there. Dan Quinn is there. The new owner is there, causing all sorts of issues. Who did the Commanders go with at number two?
I think it's Jaden Daniels. I just think that he is... He takes care of the ball. You have the running element. I think you pair him with Cliff Kingsbury and what he likes to do offensively, along with, you know, Dan Quinn, maybe not wanting to swing big because he's a defensive-minded head coach, that he doesn't want to get, you know, too far off, you know, sort of the conservative, you know, tight reins for the quarterback. I think Daniels, with his accuracy and his running ability, to me, it pairs perfectly with what they're doing. And with Washington, along with the GM, Adam Peters, you know, who, remember, was instrumental in the Trey Lance pick. And so I think he's going to look at Jaden Daniels and be like, this is what I thought Trey Lance was going to be, but this guy has the goods.
I'm going with Jaden Daniels as well. Cliff Kingsbury, I would imagine, wants to be a head coach again. So how many years does he have in Washington as the OC? Do you draft a guy who might take a year or two to fully develop in Drake May? Or do you draft the guy right now with the legs, a la Kyler Murray a little bit, that starts week one, that is experienced and ready to roll? And then you get the full Cliff Kingsbury experience for the first couple of years. You've got Dan Quinn, who wants to win. This is his second shot as a head coach. I don't think Washington will be as patient as New England will be with this process. I think they draft the more experienced guy, the more ready guy, and the better fit, I think, within Kingsbury's offense, and that's Daniels. Okay, that leads us to the Patriots at number three. The third pick in the 2024 NFL draft, selected by the New England Patriots, maybe, unless they make a trade. What happens, Greg? Who is it?
The New England Patriots are sticking at number three, and they are turning the card in, or at least I am, on behalf of the Patriots, for Drake May, quarterback, yeah. North Carolina. I just think there's just too much upside there. I see a lot of similarities between Drake May and Brett Favre, who Elliott Wolf's dad basically made his career, put himself into the Hall of Fame with the trading for Brett Favre. Size, speed, ability to make plays on the run, great arm strength. I just think that in terms of swinging big and what I know of Ron Wolf, and it's been built into Elliott Wolf, they believe in swinging big at the quarterback position. And I think that here's the other thing, and this is related to J.J. McCarthy. And why I would do it if I was the Patriots, especially if I'm Gerard Mayo, if I'm Elliot Wolf. Like, look, I think everybody realizes that, you know, Drake May is going to be a work in progress. Could he start week one? Sure. Yeah, he could. Is it more likely he starts at some point during the rookie season? Yes. And I think that time, you know, that there aren't going to be huge expectations for Drake May year one, and you're building this thing. And the way they've done it, looks like the Patriots are building this thing systematically and methodically. You know, Drake May makes perfect sense to grow with this team that's going to be better in 2025 and 2026. And drafting May and saying at the outset that we're going to develop this kid and he's not going to play until he's ready, that buys this regime more time. It buys them time with the fan base. If they go J.J. McCarthy and it's because of his high floor compared to Drake May, then that dude needs to play right away and people better see results or else they're going to be really grumpy, especially if Drake May goes to Minnesota in this scenario. If the Patriots pass on Drake May and he gets Kevin O'Connell and he gets Justin Jefferson and he's lighting the world on fire. And meanwhile, the Patriots are muddling along at a 5-win season with Mac Jones 2.0. So to me, I just think Drake May, he's so young. He's so inexperienced. He didn't play a ton in high school because of COVID. Only played 2 years in college. The dude is just he's a baby. And he's just he's a piece of talented Play-Doh that if you're Alex Van Pelt
T.C.
Ben McAdoo.
Or T.C. McCartney and Ben McAdoo.
Yeah. And Ben McAdoo, who stood on the table with the Giants for them to trade up and get what the hell is wrong with me today?
He wanted to trade up and get Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, only the greatest player in the game today. it slipped my mind. So I just think that if those guys are worth a salt in terms of developing a quarterback, and I know that they are, then I don't see how they can pass on all the tools and all the potential that Drake May has and says, give us 2 years and this kid can be really something and you know, pushing those elite guys in the NFL. So to me, they got to go Drake May at 3.
Agree with you. Swing big, swing hard, take the risk, take the gamble, look at the potential, look at the high ceiling, the natural traits, the arm, the frame, all the things we've talked about. And that's why I said a little while ago, I think, you know, my gut tells me that May is the guy who Wolf loves because of all the things you just mentioned, Greg, going back to the old school days in Green Bay. And if May gets picked by the Commanders, I think Wolf is wide open to do whatever he thinks is best.
You're right.
Which could be moving down. So I say Drake May is the guy at 3.
March is over, but the biggest moments in college basketball tip off the month of April. Be part of the action on Prize Picks for both men's and women's college basketball. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball and hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. You can pick LeBron, Caitlin Clark, Connor McDavid, and Jude Bellingham all in the same entry. I had Caitlin Clark for more than 30 points and LeBron James for more than 7 three-pointers, and I hit it. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code CLNS for the first deposit match up to $100. Again, that's a match up to $100 by using code CLNS. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy over at Prize Picks.
Fourth pick in the draft, the Arizona Cardinals. Do they stay? Do they stay at 4, Greg? What happens at 4?
They stick and they pick Marvin Harrison. I just don't see why the Vikings would feel the need to jump the Chargers and go to 4. So I have the Cardinals sticking and taking Marvin Harrison Jr., even though it's very close with Malik Nabers, who probably has more upside than Marvin Harrison. But with Marvin Harrison, you know, it's almost no doubt Pro Bowl, All Pro, borderline, at the very least, Hall of Famer at the end of his career.
It's a very boring mock draft so far because I agree with you. Marvin Harrison Jr. going fourth to Arizona. I got a trade for number five. I got a trade. I got, and so does Greg. And I want to tell people, Greg and I did not talk about that. He literally sent me a text like 45 minutes before we recorded this and said, we'll do a mock draft today. I've got the Vikings moving up to five, making that deal with the Chargers. Chargers move down. I've got the Vikings selecting J.J. McCarthy, quarterback out of Michigan.
Ding, ding, ding. Same thing here. Yeah, I just think it's they have to get a quarterback. I think he's more plug and play. I think it'll be better in that scheme. And with those players, like we talked about, and that offense and that coach, then Drake may initially with the Patriots, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And people shouldn't be – and I know we're going to hear it. There's going to be the whole comparisons. Here's a picture of Drake May sitting on the Patriots bench, and here's J.J. McCarthy leading the Vikings over the Packers and Jordan Love. I know we're going to hear all about that, but I don't care. It's not about next year. It's about – Lynn, you said it last podcast. It's about 3 years out, 5 years out, 10 years out, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with May.
Yep. We totally agree. And let's not forget, like McCarthy, he goes to the Vikings. He has Justin Jefferson. He has Jordan Addison. He has a better offensive line. Like, he has more to work with. So it's a perfect situation for him. I don't think New England is a perfect situation for him. I think May is the perfect guy for the Pats because they're both kind of on the same timeline. You don't have to rush. You don't have to have that crazy urgency like Minnesota does because Kirk went down to Atlanta. All right, number six, the Giants. Who goes there?
Number six is Malik Nabers. I think the Giants are horny for a quarterback. I think they'll try to trade up possibly into the bottom of the first round to get one. I think they would, and I heard Mike Lombardi say this on his podcast, and he knows those guys, or at least he knows Daboll pretty well, and he said like Daboll and Shane, the GM, absolutely love Drake May. They see a lot of Josh Allen in him. Both of them did the thing with Josh Allen. They would love to get their hands on Drake May. So, you know, maybe the Giants get really creative with the Patriots. But I have them sticking where they are and taking Nabers, who might be at the end of the day better than Marvin Harrison.
Going outside the box here, I'm staying with wide receiver. And look, I would probably lean Malik Nabers, but I got a little bit of a wrinkle here. I got Roma Dunze going to the Giants out of Washington. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a huge amount of separation between these three wide receivers. A lot of people talk about Marvin Harrison Jr., and he is the best receiver in this class. But Nabers a little bit, you know, less refined than that guy. Odunze, I think he's ready to go. He's ready to go. He's terrific. Catch point, good hands. He can kill you in the red zone. Just a number of tremendous catches downfield. I think Odunze is, if you were to compare him to somebody, DeAndre Hopkins-esque in his game, and I like him. So I'll go Roma Odunze there. All right, number seven, the Tennessee Titans. No longer Mike Vrabel leading this charge. What do you got?
Rand Carthon continues his dream offseason, especially in the opinion of many Patriots fans, by grabbing Joe Alt, the tackle. So if Will Levis is worth anything, they got Calvin Ridley in free agency, along with they also beefed up other pieces on the offensive line. They got did they get L'Jarius Sneed? Was that them?
Yes.
Yeah, they got L'Jarius Sneed. They get the cornerback. They get the wide receiver. Now they get the best tackle on the board. And so good job on Rand Carthon. Hopefully Will Levis is worth a crap.
Yeah, we agree. Joe Alt going seventh to Tennessee. Perfect fit. They need a tackle. Alt's the best tackle in this draft. I watch a ton of them at Notre Dame. I don't miss a Notre Dame game. Dude is young still, has tons of potential, is just a giant. He's like 6'8", 6'9", just a huge, massive human being. So I've got Alt. All right, number eight, I've got a trade, Greg. I've got a trade at number eight. I've got the Chargers, who moved down to 11 with the Vikings. I've got them jumping back up to eight. Got the Chargers moving up to eight with a trade via the Falcons.
Who, Who do they want?
And I have them selecting Talese Fuaga, offensive tackle from Oregon State. Jim Harbaugh, big believer in the trenches. He doesn't get Alt because they move down, but he gets Fuaga and gets his offensive tackle of the future, so he's happy, and they still have pick 23 coming up. So I've got the Chargers moving up for the young offensive tackle. What do you got?
Good player. So I have the Falcons sticking and taking Dallas Turner, the edge player from Alabama. Their pass rush has stunk for years, and so I'm getting them some help there.
All right, Chicago, number 9. Well, you got Caleb Williams at number 1. What do you do at number 9, Greg?
Roma Dunze. Pair him up with Caleb Williams. They get to grow together. Great start for Chicago there.
I don't think this happens, but I've got Malik Nabers going 9. Again, flip-flop, Dunze and Nabers, so I've got Nabers. All right, Jets at number 10. I look at the Jets. I know they brought in Morgan Moses. I know that they brought in Tyron Smith. Both guys long in the tooth. I think they're looking tackle. I got Olu Fashanu from Penn State at number 10.
I don't hate it. I can definitely see that logic. I just think the Jets are only focused on this year and this year alone, and they'll worry about everything later. And for that reason, I am taking Brock Bowers, tight end, Georgia, to pair with Aaron Rodgers and everything else they have on that team.
All right, so the 11th spot, Greg, you will have you will have the Chargers, right, with that trade.
Yep.
I made the double trade there. So I've got the Falcons sitting at 11, and I go with what Greg said with the Falcons. I've got Dallas Turner, edge, Alabama, getting drafted at number 11 by Atlanta. Who do you have the Chargers drafting at 11?
So we're thinking similar. You traded up for the tackle. I'm staying put at tackle and taking J.C. Latham. Right tackle, Alabama.
Alabama tackles, not the greatest history under Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Going to the NFL, but I like the idea. All right, Denver. Denver at 12, Greg, we all know they need a quarterback. Is this where they get their quarterback?
I don't think so. I think it's too rich for the other guys. I think that Sean Payton will hold off, and he will take Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback, Toledo, to pair with Patrick Surtain to sort of boost that defense a little bit.
All right, so at number 11 I had Turner from Alabama going. Number 12 I've got Tarion Arnold, Alabama cornerback, same position. Arnold above Mitchell here, but I've got them going corner at number 12. All right, the Raiders, another team looking at quarterbacks, Greg. What do they do?
Yeah, I think they're going to bypass on the quarterback here as well. I don't think whether it's Bo Nix or
Michael Penix.
That actually yeah, or Michael Penix. I think they think it's a, they don't think they're a huge upgrade over Aiden O'Connell at this point. So I have them sticking and beefing up at tackle. They don't have really anything coming back at right tackle. So I have Fuaga going here to the Raiders.
Greg's got Fuagugu. Full of Google's going.
I'm all messed up today. It's the weather. I'm so sick of this freaking weather.
Shit weather. All right, I've got another cornerback. I go back to back, belly to belly with cornerbacks here. I got Quinyon Mitchell, the guy that Greg had going 12 to the Broncos. I've got going to the Raiders out of Toledo. All right, number 14, New Orleans Saints.
Olu Fashanu.
Oh yeah,
tackle Penn State going here to the Saints. Trevor Penning hasn't lived up to the billing. They are going to throw him into the mix and see what happens.
I've got them going offensive line as well. I've got Troy Fa'utanu from Washington. A lot of people thought he might be a guard. His measurables were a little bit better than that. He could play tackle. I've got Fa'utanu going to the Saints at 14. The Colts, Chris Ballard sitting there. He's looking at the clock. He's looking at number 15. What's he thinking, Greg?
I have Arnold, the cornerback from Alabama, going here. They are desperate for cornerbacks with the Colts. And you had him going earlier, but I have him going here to the Colts.
All right. They are desperate for a cornerback, but because Arnold and Mitchell are both off the board, I think they look at the other guys and believe their reaches. Cooper DeJean might be a name, but I think that's a little too high for DeJean. So I'm going to go with the Colts selecting Brian Thomas Jr. Another need for them. Wide receiver, LSU, can really stretch the field vertically. Not the best route runner right now, but if you work with him, you develop him, he could be dynamite I think a lot of people would agree that Brian Thomas Jr., or as the kids are calling him, BTJ, is behind the top three receivers in this draft. All right, 16, Seattle Seahawks.
Fontenot, the guard slash tackle. I think the Seahawks just their tackle sort of underachieved last year. I'm not looking to replace them, but I'm throwing this guy into the mix. He's just, to me, he's the best offensive lineman on the board. I'll figure out the positions later. The Seahawks could definitely, I mean, they need a lot of help at guard. If he ends up at guard, not, ain't nothing wrong with that.
Well, Fa'utanu's off the board for me, and they do need help at guard, but they're not going to reach for a guard here. Instead, they're going to look at another need. They're going to go and say to themselves, man, oh, man, can't believe this guy's dropped all the way down to 16. Ooh. He really is a top 10 talent.
Hit me with it.
We're going to go with Brock Bowers, tight end Georgia, going to the Seattle Seahawks. So Bowers slides down to 16. They say, we are not going to let him slide anymore. We're drafting him, so Bowers to Seattle. All right, 17, Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jaguars pick up Cooper DeJean, cornerback, safety, Iowa, can play just about anywhere. They need to beef up their defense. I just think he's the right player on the board. They brought in other wide receivers, so they don't need a ready replacement for Calvin Ridley. That's definitely tempting in that spot, but I'm going defense for them.
All right, reach alert. Reach alert. This is the first time we go, uh-oh, we got a reach alert, everybody. Jaguars are pissed that they lost Calvin Ridley. They say we're going to go out and get a wide receiver, and we're going to overdraft, not by much, but I think people will see this as a reach. Greg's favorite receiver in this draft, A.D. Mitchell. Adonai Mitchell out of Texas goes to Jacksonville to replace Calvin Ridley. That's 17. All right, 18, Cincinnati Bengals.
I thought you were going to say Xavier Worthy. 18, the Bengals select Byron Murphy II, defensive interior, three technique out of Texas. I just think they need a little bit better from the pass rush from the inside to offset the guys on the outside. I think he'd be a good fit for the Bengals, who have always, over the years, they've always had really good interior defensive linemen, and yep, they need to restock there.
Yeah, DJ Reader went to Detroit, so Cincinnati loses him. Makes a lot of sense, Greg, which is why I also had Byron Murphy II going to Cincinnati at number 18 out of Texas. All right, 19, Sean McVay, the Rams. What are they thinking?
So this might be a little bit of a curveball. Oh. This might be one of the shocking picks of the first round.
Oh, I like it.
But the Los Angeles Rams select Michael Penix Jr., quarterback, Washington.
Oh, baby. Oh.
I think he would be awesome in that scheme. I think he would be tremendous in that scheme.
Look at you, Bedard. Penix going to the Rams. All right, I'm going to go boring. I got Jared Verse. They need an edge. Edge out of Florida State. His story is terrific. Not a highly recruited guy. Comes from a small college. Moves up to Florida State. Does all the things right. Produces on the field. I've got Jared Verse going 19. All right, number 20, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Brian Thomas, wide receiver, LSU. He'll probably go before this, but this is just the way this shook out. I love Brian Thomas. I think he's awesome, and I think he's sort of the next really good Steelers receiver.
All right, so I've got somebody here that I think makes a lot of sense for the Steelers. They need interior offensive line help. I've got Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon.
Yeah, I like it.
I think he's a good fit for Pittsburgh, so I've got him going there at 20. All right, 21. That would be, by the way, the Dolphins, Nick. The Dolphins at 21.
The Dolphins at 21. So I am going, this probably won't work out this way, but, you know, out goes Christian Wilkins. In comes Zurhan Newton, defensive interior, Illinois.
Big beefy interior lineman. I'm going to go with back-to-back interior offensive lineman. I'm going to go with Graham Barton out of Duke, going to Good Miami. They just lost Hunt, so you can play him at center. You can play him at guard. They need help there on that offensive line, so I think he gets picked by Miami at 21. Philadelphia Eagles, interesting team. Howie Roseman always cooking something up at 22. What's Roseman do this year?
He's getting some help for that secondary, which was a flaming disgrace at the end of last season by grabbing Nate Wiggins, cornerback Clemson.
Nate Wiggins. I think he's being overlooked a little bit. I liked him early in his career. I just feel like the feeling about him is he tailed off a little bit towards the end. But if you asked me a year or two ago, I would have been like, that guy's going to be a stud, top 10 pick, top 12 pick. So, all right, that's what you've got going on. I think Howie Roseman, I always think offensive line and defensive line. And I got him going with Amarius Mims, somebody who is, you know, raw, projected to be possibly a special tackle talent at 22. I think Roseman says, oh, if this guy was drafted next year, he's a top 5 pick, top 8 pick. And he goes with Amarius Mims to help out that offensive line. All right, the Chargers at 23 for the both of us here. Of course, the Chargers in both of our mock drafts dealt with Minnesota. Minnesota moved up to draft J.J. McCarthy, so the Chargers sit at 23.
I have them taking, because I don't want them on the board when the Patriots are picking, A.D. Mitchell, wide receiver, Texas.
All right, so I've got, you know, you go into this draft if you're L.A., and you've got two big needs. You've got tackle and you've got wide receiver. I took care of the tackle with Fuaga at 8, moving up with the Falcons. I'm going to go with another guy who is probably going to be seen as a reach, but with the speed, with the 4.2140, his ability to make big plays, I've got Xavier Worthy, wide receiver, Texas, going to the Chargers. So they walk out with their offensive tackle and their young wide receiver. All right, 24, Dallas Cowboys. How about them Cowboys?
I got to tell you, Nick, we just lost Tyron. I didn't like that very much. So I'm getting his replacement. Amarius Mims, tackle, ooh, Georgia.
Ooh, I like that. Amarius Mims again. I had Mims going a few spots up. A few spots up, just a couple away from what you just did. You know, I think we're on the same wavelength there, right? You lose Smith. We all know Jerry Jones. He is absolutely, absolutely in love with offensive line play and tackles. And so I think they do go tackle. And I'm going to go with Tyler Guyton, tackle out of Oklahoma, as the Cowboys pick there at 24. A team that Greg used to work with, beat writer, used to cover them out in Green Bay. We got the Packers at 25, Greg.
So I'm not going to project it here, but I'm just going to point out I would be on alert for a possible Patriots trade up to this spot. You know, Gutekunst and Wolf used to work together.
Yes.
You know, but they could also be looking for the exact same position here, and I think they will be, and that's why I think Gutekunst gives Elliott Wolf the stiff arm and says, nope, I am taking Tyler Guyton, tackle, Oklahoma.
I like it. I like it. I've got the Packers. Look, they need a little bit of help in that secondary, a little bit. They got McKinney, right? But I'm going to go with Cooper DeJean. I think Cooper DeJean, he could go higher than this. He slides down a little bit. He's got a lot of versatility. He can play outside. He can play on the back end at safety. Very, very good athlete. I'll go Cooper DeJean at 25. All right, 26, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I have Latu, the edge from UCLA, going here. I think the buzz is that he's going to go a lot earlier. I don't know. I don't see it. Do I think he's a good player? Yeah, I think he's a good player. But top 20, top 15-ish, I don't think he's that impactful. He's a little light for me. But I think he fits perfectly with what the Bucs do, so he's the pick for the Bucs.
All right, I've got the Bucs going with Jordan Morgan, offensive tackle slash offensive guard out of Arizona. They need some help on that O-line, so that's who I've got them going with. 27, Cardinals.
This is where I have Jared Verse going. You had him going earlier, which he probably will, but he was on the board there, and I think he fits with what the Cardinals do.
Same wavelength, looking at Edge, the guy you just drafted for the Bucs. I've got going to the Cardinals, Latu. Edge out of UCLA. All right, 28, the Buffalo Bills. They do not move up. Some people think they'll be looking to move up, but neither Greg nor I have them moving up in this draft. At 28, are they looking receiver, Greg, or are they looking somewhere else?
They are. They're getting their Steph Diggs replacement with Troy Franklin, wide receiver, Oregon.
Oh, I just, it's not fair to Troy Franklin, man, but I got a Tyquan Thornton PTSD. Not fair to him, but all right. I've got the Bills going receiver too, but I do not go with Troy Franklin. I go with Ladd McConkey, wide receiver out of Georgia. A lot of versatility, can play inside, can play outside, very good route runner, underrated athlete, as we saw at the combine. So I got McConkey going to the Bills. All right. Number 29, Greg. Detroit.
Another Lions. Spot. Yeah, another spot, Nick, where the Patriots, if there's somebody on the board that's lingering there, that's at the top of their board, that's still there, I do think that the Lions would be open for business at 29. I am not trading up here as the Patriots, but I have the Lions sticking and picking Xavier Worthy, wide receiver, Texas.
I've got Detroit sticking and picking as well here at 29. And they just lost Cam Sutton because of that situation legally going with him. They released him, so they're looking at cornerback. I know they brought in Carl Davis via trade. I understand that. But I'm going to go with more defense. I'm going to go with Nate Wiggins, somebody who probably should go higher than this. Lions see the value, and they draft Nate Wiggins, cornerback out of Clemson. All right, number 30, the Ravens. I have a trade. Ding, 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 ding. Now, this is going to be controversial because the Ravens need an offensive tackle, and I understand that. However, Eric DaCosta is very good at his job. There are tackles in this draft. I think DaCosta says, I don't mind sliding down four spots with the New England Patriots. I think the Patriots see a young tackle that they like a lot, somebody who is big, athletic, has a great family tree. Grandfather drafted by the Patriots in 1972. Look it up, kids. Google it. Somebody who played in a wide and mid-zone offensive scheme at BYU. He is somebody who has that potential. Might take a year or two to fully get him going with Scott Peters and Rob Kugler. But I've got the Patriots trading up to the 30th pick so they can leapfrog the 49ers, who are also looking for offensive tackle help, and drafting Kingsley Suamatia from BYU.
I like the thinking. As you'll see in a few picks, I did consider trading up with Detroit. I do think that the Ravens and Eric DaCosta, because I think he's very comfortable in his evaluations, is fine moving down a few spots and picking somebody else. But I have them sticking and helping their cornerbacks, which seem to get injured all the time, and they're always dealing with injuries at cornerback. I just don't think that they can afford to pass on Kool-Aid McKistry, cornerback, Alabama.
I mean, not a better name in the draft, right?
Yeah.
Kool-Aid McKinstry's got to be.
Oh, yeah.
Best name. And speaking of Kool-Aid, I got Kool-Aid going 31 to the 49ers. Again, the 49ers need offensive tackle help. I think they look at this and they say, there's really nobody here that's worth swinging for at 31. The Patriots jumped us, damn it. They got Suamatia and Morgan's off the board and Guyton's off the board and Mims is off the board. So let's just go with some Kool-Aid out of Alabama, Kool-Aid McKinstry at 31 for the Niners. All right, 32. I've got a trade, Greg.
Ding, well, ding, let ding, me give ding. You my 31 pick.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I got so excited over my trade. Sorry.
So this is where I have Graham Barton going to the Niners. While he's not exactly a tackle, I think he's more of a guard, but I do think he has that versatility. And I just see when I see Graham Barton, I just think of him in a 49ers uniform, and it just fits.
All right. Now I'll get to my trade where I just was so excited to share this that I wanted to railroad Greg's 31st pick. The New York Giants trade up. Ooh. They trade up with the Kansas City Chiefs. Giants want a quarterback. They're looking quarterback. Now, remember, earlier in this draft, the Giants landed Rome Odunze. Greg had them drafting Malik Nabers. So they got their stud young wide receiver one in town, ready to roll, and they draft Bo Nix, quarterback out of Oregon. Wow. to grab that fifth-year option on the rookie deal at the most pivotal position in the draft. So I've got the New York Giants trading up to 32 and drafting Bo Nix.
I thought you were going to go Penix there with Odunze and Penix reuniting in the Big Apple,
I just
that
like,
sort of thing.
I like Nix better than Penix. I do. The health thing scares the crap out of me and some other stuff too, but I just, you know, for storyline, I should have gone Penix. I like that though. Penix with a Dunze, but I go Bo Nix.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if he's a fit for what Daboll does. I would have to think about that longer, but I have the Chiefs sticking and taking somebody who you already drafted. I think he would be perfect for the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, now that I remember his name again. And I just think Ladd McConkey from Georgia would just be plug and play for the Chiefs and be an upgrade on what they had last year. And so, yeah, but I could see the trade down because guys like Ladd McConkey, there's so many of them in this draft that that they could definitely trade down and get somebody good.
Deep receiver. All right, so that does it for my mock draft. But Greg's going to go to 34 since the Patriots pick at 34. I had the Patriots moving up. So let's go to Carolina. Carolina with the first pick in the second round, Greg, at number 33.
I have them taking Xavier Leggett.
Yes.
Leggett?
Leggett.
Leggett. Wide receiver, South Carolina. I think that the owner will push on them to get Bryce Young, you know, one of those big sort of alpha outside receiver types. And he basically stays in the area from right down the road at South Carolina. And so, yeah, so that leaves me to the Patriots. I decided not to trade up. I sort of took a risk that my guy, our guy, your guy would be there, that other people would pass on him and he would be there. But I am going also with Kingsley Suamataia. Did I say that right?
I go Suamataia, but you know,
Suamataia,
potato, potato.
So they get their quarterback at 3, they get their future left tackle at 34, and they're cooking with gas, and as soon as they trade for a wide receiver 1 after the draft with a future pick, now we're talking. The Patriots are back, baby.
There you have it. Our mock draft, by the way, this episode brought to you by Prize Picks, largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. Download the app today. Use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Make sure you let Greg and I know how much you hate our mock draft. We're looking forward to that. You can check out Greg at BSJ, $50 for the year. Mike Giardi as well, tag team and Patriots coverage. Everybody have a great weekend. Be well, be safe. Don't get yourself in trouble. We'll be back early next week. Who knows what's going to happen? It's really, truly the silly time now. I mean, we've been saying it, but just wait. When you get 10 days to 2 weeks left before the draft, shit gets out of control. So just get ready for the silliness to get ramped up. He's Greg. I'm Nick. Goodbye.